This is Dwayne Kaysen. This is our midweek Bible study. The name of our current series is entitled, What We as New Bereans Believe. We are studying the doctrines that our church believes. Now, New Berean Baptist Church, we know that the Bible is our standard. It's the basis and the foundation of the believer's faith, according to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Acts 17, verse 11, where we get our name, it says that these that were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we're going to take a look at our doctrines for today, which is the local church and the church ordinances of baptism and communion. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you and we love you. We thank you for the gift of the Word of God as you reveal yourself to us through your Word. We open this Bible study today praying that you would hear. That we would hear your voice, and that the Holy Spirit would be at work in us, opening our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the Lord with all readiness of mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so our first doctrine that we're looking at, if you want to look at the doctrinal statement in the church website, is the local church. The local church. Here's what the doctrinal statement says. We believe the Lord Jesus established an institution to fulfill the mission he started. The New Testament church body is made up of people who are born again believers, water baptized, and commissioned to follow his commandment to make disciples throughout the whole world. So in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 18, Peter is going to answer a question. He asks, who do men say that I am? And then Jesus asks them, who do you say that I am? And old Peter, he decides to answer that question. And he says, thou art the Christ, or the Messiah. And here's what Jesus says in response to his remark. He says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, which in the language means rock. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when Jesus heard Peter say that thou art the Christ, that was the word that Jesus wanted to hear, that he is the Messiah. He is the foundation. He's that cornerstone. And he says, upon this rock I will build, and he says, my church. So Jesus, therefore, is the owner and the builder of the church. And we thank God that it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. While local churches will be planted and local churches will shut down throughout the history of time, we know that the universal church, the body of Christ, stays intact. That's the one that will not fail. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 12, it says that the body is a unit, though it is comprised of many parts. And although its parts are many, they all form one body. And so it is with Christ. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and said to them, this is before he was ascended into heaven, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So it is through the body of Christ, the church, the ecclesia, that one body, that we are responsible for taking the gospel to all nations. We're also responsible for baptizing them when they make confession of faith. And we're also responsible for teaching those who have become disciples or believers to observe all that he has commanded us, that means in the Word of God. And part of the, while this is not mentioned in our doctrinal statement, the scriptures give us two ordained officers in the church to help carry out this commission. The first is pastors. And you'll find in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1 references to these two offices, or to this office of the pastorships. So you have pastors, elders, overseers, bishops. These are all the same meaning in the scriptures. They serve as the under-shepherd of the good shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, in the local church, or perhaps a group of churches. And that happened in the book of Acts, because many churches made up the church at Rome, or the church at Philippi. There would be several churches, individual churches in people's homes, but together they are called the church at Rome, or the church at Corinth, or the church at Ephesus. So we generally accept that the scriptures teach a plurality of elders, or that churches can have more than one elder or pastor. Now, the two passages that explain the qualifications of the pastor is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and you can look at that on your own. The other ordained office in the church would be the deacons. They are the second group of officers in the church. They originally were raised up to free the apostles and pastors of the churches for the ministry of prayer and study and preaching and teaching the word. Acts chapter 6 explains how the deacons first were formed, and they were known as deacons. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, you can see what the qualifications of deacons would be. So we have a local church, and in the local church, we have pastors and deacons. We also have church ordinances. Jesus instituted two ordinances for the local church to continue in. And so we have in our site we have the baptism, or the baptizing believers of Christ, which is a public witness to beginning the new life in Christ. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 talks to that. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then the other church ordinances would be the communion, which was in remembrance of Jesus' sacrificial death. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And you can look at Luke 24:6. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 23, verses 23 through 27. It says, and if you've been in communion services, you've heard this many times, "For I received from the Lord," this is Paul speaking, "what I also passed on to you, The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That's a command, folks. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Verse 27 says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." So here's what we want to talk about, just to extrapolate a little bit on that. We use the correct elements at the Lord's Supper with a biblical understanding. Jesus said that these elements of the bread and the fruit of the vine represented his body symbolically and his blood symbolically. And in partaking of the bread and the cup, Christ's disciples are to remember his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, where he gave his body and he shed his blood for our sins. So that's what we do when we take the bread and the juice, the fruit of the